Grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and Mother, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Today we are celebrating the Feast of the Holy Trinity. So I thought that it would be appropriate to spend the time for the sermon talking about God. And when we have conversations about God, very often, one of the first questions that emerges, and if it doesn't emerge, it's in the back of the people's heads, is the question of, well, whether God exists or not. And the question of, how do we know that God exists? And so I would like to spend the sermon time talking about that, about God and the existence of God. But before I do that, I want to tell you something about my name. I don't know if you knew this, but I have more than one name. As a matter of fact, if you count my nickname, then I have three names. You see, in the States, I am Carmelo Santos. But back home, I am Carmelo Santos Rolón. Because where I come from, and also in other places in Latin America and in the Caribbean, you have to add your mother's last name to your name. So Santos is my father's last name, and then Rolón is my mother's last name. Now, when I go back home, sometimes I forget. And people remind me. So if I say, oh, I'm Carmelo Santos, they immediately look at me in a funny way. And then they ask a funny question that I'll try to translate. They say, ¿y tú saliste de una mata de plátano? They say, so were you born out of a plantain tree? Which really means, don't you have a mother? Are you forgetting about your mother? You were not born out of a palm tree. You came from your mother. So the intuition behind the idea of God, the original intuition behind the idea of God, is that the universe was not born out of a palm tree. It's that the universe did not make itself. The initial intuition behind the idea of God is that in the same way that we all have a mother, that the universe also, so to speak, has a mother or a father, as the traditional language of the liturgy uses. So first of all, then God, at that level, is the answer of how come there is something rather than nothing. Where does all this came from? Now, let me clarify something, because very often what people think that means is that if you have learned what science has to say about how the universe has evolved, it all began with the big singularity, right? Everything exploded, the Big Bang. You heard of the Big Bang? And then the planets were formed, and then the Earth was formed, and then life emerged, and et cetera, et cetera. And I have no fight against that. But people sometimes place God at the beginning of all that. And so they say, well, God was then at time equals zero, right before the Big Bang. And so God, in a sense, lit the match, right? God kicked the ball. Or if you have ever played like that game with dominoes, where you put many dominoes in line, they would say, well, God set everything in motion. But that is not what the claim is. The claim is not that God is the beginning in terms of temporality. The claim is that God is the source of being. God is the power of being. God is, well, in the case of the dominoes, then God is the floor that makes it possible for the dominoes to be there, the ground of everything. So God is the power of being. God is what makes everything that exists be able to exist. So technically speaking, if you want to get fancy and philosophical, you could say that God does not exist, but nothing can exist apart from God. God is the power of everything that exists. God does not exist because God is not a thing, an object, even a being. God is the power that makes it possible for everything else to exist. Now, how do we know? How do we possibly know that that is true, that there is a source of being? Well, I think that a good metaphor that I've come across very often is the metaphor of the fish in the water. How does the fish know that there is such a thing as water? Water being the metaphor for God in our case. Well, I suppose that if fish could think the way we do, there would be many fish in the water that had no idea that there's water. I even imagine that there's a fish having a conversation with another fish, laughing and saying, what crazy thought this guy has, like surrounded by something that makes it be able to live. But there are some fish that know about the water. There are some fish that know about the water very well. You know what those fish are? those that have been cut and have been removed from the water for some period of time. Then all of a sudden, water becomes obvious. Then all of a sudden, they realize, I can't breathe. I can't live apart from water. Well, we also have those kinds of experiences, don't we? We also have those experiences that sometimes push us to the limits, where we feel that we are outside the source of our being, outside life. For example, death. We have to deal with the reality of our own mortality. And sometimes when we get bad news from the doctors, or sometimes when we are in an accident and we come really close, all of a sudden it becomes obvious to us because we are no longer there. And then there are also experiences of transcendence. You know, when the fish comes back to the water, all of a sudden the experience of the water is different than before. All of a sudden there's this sense of gratitude and of joy, and there's water everywhere, and the water is so beautiful. So there are these experiences that even some scientists also claim to have when they're studying the way that the stars move and the way the universe works, and they realize that there's such beauty in it. And then they realize that there must be a source for it all. Again, not only a source for us, but a source and a ground for all matter, for all energy, a source for even the minds that are able to think about matter and about energy, for our feelings, for mathematics, for everything, for the order of the universe, for the dynamism of the universe. So there are those experiences that allow us to become aware of the reality of God, of the reality of the power of our being. Now, that helps us realize that there is such a thing, or there might be such a thing, as the power of being, such a thing as God. But it really doesn't tell us much about God. It doesn't tell us much about the attributes of God, but what kind of God God is, about what it's like, that source of everything that exists. So how can we possibly know anything about God beyond the fact that God is? Well, some theologians and philosophers have come up with some very clever ideas of how to do that. Now, well, maybe you did meet my mother. Some of you have not met my mother or my father. But I'm sure that by observing me, you can already make some conclusions, draw some conclusions about my parents in terms of physical looks. You probably can tell that my father is pretty handsome, right? By observing the way that people behave, you can also maybe draw some conclusions. And so there's an analogy, right, between you and your parents. So philosophers also draw an analogy between the universe and creatures and the source from which they come. And so they can learn something about God by looking at the things that God has created. But they do so in a negative way, because God is more than we are. So for instance, when we look at ourselves, we realize we die. We're mortal. But the source of our life, the source of our being, cannot be mortal. So we are mortal. Well, God is immortal. Everything that we know has a beginning and an end. It's temporal. Well, God is eternal. Everything that we know is limited in its resources. Well, God is not limited. God is infinite. Well, we are able to think and to ask questions such as, is there such a thing as God? So the source of our being cannot be less than conscious, cannot be less than our minds. So God not only knows, but knows everything. He's omniscient. And so on and so forth. We can draw some analogies about God. Now, of course, the problem is that we might get it wrong sometimes. Just like you may draw some analogies about my parents by looking at me that are not right. And so we can also project a lot of our own hopes and wishes and desires into this reality that we call God. And we might sometimes get it right, but sometimes get it wrong. So there is another way by which we come to know the ground of our being, the source of existence, this thing that we call God. And it's the same way that you would get to know another person. If you want to get to know my parents, well, my mother, my father is no longer with us, but if you want to get to know my mother, well, invite her to drink some tea, have a conversation with her, listen to the stories of who she is, get to know her. Well, the same thing happens with the reality of God. I mean, you can speculate all you want, or you can also work towards a relationship with that reality that is God. And we have a whole history in the history of the world of connections between people and that reality that we call God. And they are the world religions, right? We have a record of what our ancestors say that their experiences of God have been. In the case of the Israelites, from whom we receive our Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, when you ask them the question, who is God? Who is this power of being? Who is our source of being? Who is this God? The answer is, let me tell you a story. We were slaves in Egypt, and we claimed to God for help, and God sent us a liberator, Moses. And then God worked wonders and made us free. So who is God? God is the one that answers prayers. God is the one that liberates the slaves and the oppressed. And then there were the prophets, people that were inspired by God and spoke the word of God to the people. And so the question, who is God, and would be, let me tell you what we learn from the prophets. From the prophets, we learn that God really, really cares about justice. From the prophets, we learn that God cares about the orphans, about the widows, about the poor, about the foreigners. That's who God is. And then we come to our own tradition, Christianity. Who is God? Well, let me tell you about this man that lived about 2,000 years ago called Jesus. This man that walked around, and then when people came into contact with him, when they heard his preaching, it was like that fish that had been removed from the water and all of a sudden was thrown back into the water. You know, people in encountering Jesus, they encounter God, but not just as a person out there. They encounter God as that source of life that refreshed them and that made them be alive again, fully alive. Those that were sick found healing in Christ. Those that were guilty, they found forgiveness. So if I use the metaphor of the flower that had been withering because of the absence of the sunlight, all of a sudden the flower begins to flourish. And so they encounter God through Jesus, and they realize this man, it's more than a man. This is like a channel by which God comes to me, or by which I can go to God, the way the fish enters back into the water. And then Jesus was killed. And then some of the followers said that they saw him alive, and then they say that he went back to heaven. But what happened was that Sunday after Sunday, the community would gather, and they would break bread, and they would share the cup, and they had this eerie feeling that he was there with them, that Jesus was present in their midst, the way that he had promised. But there was another surprise. And the surprise was that not only was Christ present there with them, but something was happening to them. They felt like this search of joy, this search of peace, this search of courage within them that they later came to know as the Holy Spirit. And so they realized that not only was God present in this man Christ, but now God was also present within them and around them. And to keep using the metaphor of the fish in the water, it was like all of a sudden there was a current inside the water that was pushing the fish. And we are the fish, and we are being pushed by the Holy Spirit. We're being first pulled towards God, towards that source of life that makes us be fully alive. And then push outside of ourselves towards our neighbor in need. And so we feel compelled to not just walk by, but to see our neighbor, to recognize the humanity of our neighbor in need, without regards to religion or to race or to anything. We only see our brother, our sister who is in need. And we feel a power within us, the power of love that compels us to do something. And we call that the Holy Spirit. And you see how we in the Christian church have arrived at this beautiful name that we have for God, Father, who is the source of everything that is, Son, who was the one that walked in our midst and brought healing to people and continues to be with us. And Holy Spirit, the power of God within us and around us. And so that is why we Christians call God the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it is our joy, our duty, and our privilege to share that name with others. Not to impose that name on others, but to share it with others, especially with those that are like fish outside the water, and we see them and they're gasping for air, and we can tell them here we have found the source of life in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Come, join us. Amen.